Now, universal and particular also is a special kind of relationship, which was our main subject of discussion for the last 2 days. What is the relationship between universal and the particular? Now, it is supposed by Plato that all the ideas, and there are so many ideas, multiplicity of ideas, and this multiplicity of ideas can all be harmonized in one supreme idea called the supreme good. The three penultimate ideas are truth, beauty and goodness. They are penultimate ideas. But ultimate idea is the good. So you might say that there is multiplicity of ideas, there are many ideas, and all these many can be reconciled in one idea, in one, that is the good. Now here you have to see that here ideas are not particulars. It's a different kind of relationship. If you have universal and particular, is one kind of relationship where one is universal and many are particulars. But in this idea of ideas, you have many ideas, each one of which is universal. And then there is a further universality in which all universal ideas are related into one. So it is another kind of relationship. Universal, supreme universal, having a relationship with penultimate universals. It's another kind of relationship. It's also a question of one and many, but in this fashion, where many also are universals and one is also universal. Now, Plato introduces the idea of soul. Now the question is soul one or many? And his answer is that there are many souls. Each one of us is a soul. Each one of us is immortal. Now the question is, these souls are many. So, when you use the word many, it may refer to the multiplicity of souls. Many souls. So the idea of souls is the idea of many. Now what is the relationship between these many and universal ideas, and their relationship with the highest universal? So you have three relationships to establish: many souls, many ideas, universal ideas, and one supreme idea of the good. And then if you want to complicate the matter further, you can ask the question, what is the relationship between many souls and many particulars? This body, for example, is a particular body. The soul also is a particular soul. And what is the relationship between that particular soul and this particular body? It's a very interesting question. We shall come to it later on when you advance in philosophical thinking. What is the relationship between particular body and particular soul? Are they both particular in the same sense? If not, what is the difference between the two? In Sri Aurobindo's philosophy, there is a distinction between the individual and the particular. The soul is individual and the body is particular. And what is the difference between the two? It's a very interesting question. We shall discuss it later on. So, on the one hand, you have a question of relationship of the soul and the particular, soul and penultimate ideas, soul and ultimate idea, and then we have a problem of relationship of the souls, many souls, with God. And then there is in Plato's theory also the idea of gods. Plato, like the early Greeks, was very much aware of the idea of gods. Not only God, but gods. Zeus as the supreme in the hierarchy of gods. Then Hera as a spouse of Zeus. and there are number of other gods like Apollo and Athena and Poseidon and many others like Aphrodite and many others. Number of gods and goddesses. So now, what is the difference between a soul, souls and gods? And what is the relationship between them? And then the relationship between souls, gods and God. What is the relationship? And finally the question of relationship between God, gods, souls, universals, penultimate universals, particulars and the whole series arising out of non-existent, existent matter. What is the relationship? Now you can see the complexity of Plato's philosophy. So many ideas, so many terms are to be related. And a good philosopher is one who can relate all of them in a systematic manner. Therefore, philosophy is supposed to be a systematic study, or a philosophy is a system building activity. You build up an activity, and you build up, it's an activity in which you build up a system in which all relationships are understood very clearly, very harmoniously. And a good philosophical system is good only if you can satisfactorily put them all together. Let anybody expound his philosophy to you. And if you are a good philosopher, you will ask the question, what are the basic terms of your philosophy? Like in Plato, what are the basic terms of Plato's philosophy? God, good, universal ideas, particulars, souls, and gods. These are all the terms of Platonic philosophy. And then the question is, has he been able to relate them satisfactorily? And satisfactorily means detailed questioning, as we did in the case of universal and particular. One simple relationship, and you could see that we are stumped out. We are not able to establish a relationship between universal and particular as yet. There has been a statement of Plato, and Plato himself finds difficulties with it, and we are quite convinced about the mistakes of Plato, and we still have to find out where the arguments are mistaken. Not Plato, but arguments are mistaken. That exercise remains to be done, we shall see. So a good philosophy is one in which all the ultimate relationships, these are the ultimate terms, and their relationships are ultimate relationships. So when you relate them ultimately, then you can say that you have built up a system which seems to be rationally satisfying. That is how you should measure any philosophy. That is why philosophers are difficult to be convinced, because they have many, many concepts in their minds and they all need to be related. So I was now only commenting on this question of one and many. And this is another relationship. Usually this is a relationship between God and souls. This word, when it is used, God, one and many, it is a relationship between God and souls. Souls are many and God is one. So the question here is ultimate reality one or many? Now Plato says, we shall come back to the text, he at least shows the impossibility of assuming the one only or the many only as the ultimate reality. This is one of the propositions that he makes in his dialogue called Parmenides. That if you say one only is a reality, you have a problem. If you say many are the ultimate reality, there is a problem. So he says that at least he could show the difficulties of holding both the positions, either of the positions. If you say reality is only one, there is a problem. If you say reality has many, it's also a problem. Now, I am not at present taking your time to show how we show the impossibility of this problem. But let us continue further, he says. And this, now we come to the other dialogue called the Sophist. Just as Parmenides is a title of a dialogue of Plato, there is another dialogue written by Plato which is entitled Sophist. Now in this dialogue he discusses the question of one and many. He started this question in Parmenides, but he continues this question also in this dialogue called the Sophist. So in this Sophist he attempts to show how the being and the known being can coexist. This is another problem. You remember that among the terms of Plato's philosophy there was also the question of non-being, non-existent. Non-existent that is existent which partakes into the universal as a result of which particulars come into existence, which are only partly existing and partly non-existing. Therefore which are the objects not of knowledge but only of opinion. That was Plato's theory. Now the question is non-existent. And in Sophist, he tries to show how the being, that is existence, and the non-being, non-existence, can coexist. Once again, it's a very difficult concept, and non-existence can exist. He says, coexistence and the non-existence but can both coexist. Just as one and many can coexist, just as universal and the particular can coexist. Now this question of coexisting is a very important relationship in philosophy. We have discovered many relationships like causal relationship, reciprocal relationship, sequential relationship. Similarly, there is a relationship of coexistence. Now on that basis, I could have argued in detail on this question, but I am not arguing definitely because it becomes too heavy at this stage. Later on when you specialize in Plato, we may do in detail this question. But I am only giving a passing reference to this and then say that similarly, Plato goes on to show how even the ideas themselves could be synthesized and harmonized into unity. So how the idea of truth and the idea of beauty can coexist. Sometimes you will see in the world truth and beauty don't coexist together. And therefore there is a conflict. There is a conflict between truth and good also. The truth and good can collide with each other. Is it good to allow a man to kill a victim? Very simple question is asked. A man is pursuing another man just to kill him. You are on the street standing and you see that man running away, one man. And this second man comes after some time and says, did you see any man running away from here? And he has got a sword in his hand. And now you recognize that he wants to kill that man. What will be your answer? You know that this man wants to kill that man. And if you say that yes, he went in this direction, he has a clue and he will run after him and he will kill him. So he becomes the cause of the killing. You showed him the way. Now truth and good collide. If you say the truth, then you are not good because you become the cause of the killing of that man, which is not good. And if you do not tell the truth, you are doing good but not telling the truth. So there is a conflict between the truth and the good. So in the world there is a big conflict. They don't coexist. Truth and good do not exist together. And yet Plato says that ultimately truth, beauty and goodness, all of them three coexist. And in the ultimate reality, truth is good and good is truth and truth is beauty and beauty is truth and beauty is good and beauty is truth. So, all of them are co-related, coexistent, and not only coexistent but united, harmonized. You can again see the difficulty of Plato's philosophy. Is it really a fact that truth, beauty and goodness can coexist? What is our human experience? What are the data? In our data of human life, do we really find that truth, beauty and goodness coexist? And we find constant conflicts between the three. You want to write a story, a beautiful story. And then you are told, you write a beautiful story in which no character tells a lie.
Truth.
Absolutely truth. And then as an artist will say, you can't make a good story out of it. Everybody tells the truth. Without a mixture, some spice in which things are mixed up, you don't get a good story. Without mantra, can there be a good Ramayana? This is a question. If you write a good story, a good story is what? What's the meaning of a story? A story, the smallest definition of a story is an interesting account. A story is an interesting account. There may be no plot. There may be nothing. It must be an interesting account. That's all. Anything that is interesting, that's a story. And the question is, according to the artist, he only wants to create something interesting. Not necessarily a story which will be a story of good people, all good people put together, they'll say it makes no interesting story. If Kaikeyi was wonderful, if Rama was wonderful, Sita was wonderful, Dashrath was wonderful, then there's no story. Ramayana could not have been written. So how to unite all goodness, all truthfulness, all beauty together? Artist says, no, I must have a little mixture, little spice. And I don't mind whether it is all truthful or good or anything. I need some mixture so that the story becomes interesting. As an artist, I am only a kind of a storyteller. It must be interesting, that's all. So the artist says, if you want only truth in the story, it won't be an interesting story. If all people are good characters, it will not be an interesting story. So artist collides with the people who speak of the truth. In fact, there are many thinkers who believe that stories should not be told at all, because stories always involve some kind of a falsehood, some kind of a mixture. You should only tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Children should not be told stories because they will know how to tell lies, how to be cunning, and so on. In fact, even Plato, when he wrote, he said, in my educational system, Homer should not be taught. The great story of Iliad, he says, should not be taught, because Iliad consists of gods who are fighting among themselves. And children will think that if gods are fighting, why should we not fight among ourselves? So the message of harmony will not come out of Iliad. So he says, don't make people read the Iliad. So you see the conflict. So Plato says, however, that there is a possibility of having all the three together. And he says, in fact, the best art is the art that expresses truth and beauty and goodness. All the three together, the best art. The best truth is also beautiful at the same time. The highest good is also truthful and beautiful at the same time. And that is his thesis. And this thesis has been very important in the whole history of mankind. And his assertion, truth, beauty and goodness can not only coexist, but they are in each other. And they subsist by each other. They are reciprocal in relationships. And they can be united, and you go to the good, which is at once truth, beauty and goodness. Then the distinction between truth, beauty and goodness also vanishes. I think we stop here now. We shall continue this next time.